Ladies and gentlemen, it's Thursday, February 19th, 2026, and the evil brother of King Shark has been arrested. Stand by.
Tomorrow's news, today.
Well, the Trump administration is in crisis, not because of anything Trump ever did with Epstein or the Mossad or CIA or MI6, but because by extension the DOJ has been helping the cover-up. Prince Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor was arrested today in the early morning light over in the UK for crimes basically against the state, crimes against his office. And they're saying that means giving secrets, intelligence, to Epstein. And that, of course, was Epstein's main operation, that money laundering and compromising people. And he stood by Epstein right until the end. Former Prince Andrew arrested over suspected misconduct in public office revealed in Epstein files, and a lot more. And this is because they know this is all coming out. They know nothing's going to stop it. The 3 million documents are over the top insane. The same stuff Jimmy Savile, the king's best friend and top confidant, was confirmed. Thousands of raped children, hundreds killed, satanic secret building inside his house, hidden behind a literal bookcase that slid open. And he had the highest level national security clearance. So the UK is run by pedophiles. Keir Starmer famously protected all the Islamic pedophiles, the rest of them, as the head magistrate. That is who these people are. Europe, just as bad or worse. And they imported this form of government and control here. So now even the White House is like, well, it'll crash the stock market. Even Democrat Congress people are like, well, it may crash the stock market if they all get indicted. Do it. We need to get rid of this satanic occupied government. Just be done, may the heavens fall. And they need to redact all the names of the people saying we're delivering the sex slave to the Hyatt Hotel for you. And they need to, and all the stuff with Noam Chomsky on fantasizing about the island and, oh, we're delivering the beef jerky and we're shipping your sperm in to get the women pregnant so we can create the babies. We're like, what do they do with the babies? They suck them dry of their blood. And if it's your child, the stem cells are literally hundreds of times better. Okay? That's what's going on. Mad scientist world. We know all about this. We understand it. We know it's at the bottom of the rabbit hole. Blood drinking, Satanism, adrenochrome. It's all true. It's all real. It's all going on. And we know the groups. We know the operations. We know how they behave. And you can't even make this up that Prince Charles says and lives part of the year in Transylvania in the original Dracula castle of Vlad the Impaler, who is the original bloodline. He is who they trace it all back to. In the Carpathian Mountains in Transylvania. And so Bram Stoker's book is fiction about these people. No, they don't live forever. No, they don't combust in the sun. That's the archetype of the truth vaporizes them. But they do want to drink the blood of your babies. That's called a Black Sabbath or a Black Mass. And it's in all the historic black magic texts of what's gone on back to Egypt and before. And it's what King Solomon, by the end, got into. And that's in the official Jewish books about Solomon written after his death. So these people are following something that predates Judaism and Christianity, the old time religion that was practiced in every culture throughout ancient times. And while we can never get a civilization going, every culture, whether it was Arabic or whether it was Asian or whether it was African or whether it was Anglo, every culture did it. And the Middle East, if you study history, has been the epicenter of it. And so here we are, ladies and gentlemen. Here we are. This isn't going away. No one's moving on from this, Levitt. You guys are committing political suicide and giving the actual Satan cult a big win. We're going to break it all down straight ahead. Also, Trump just signed an executive order on glyphosate. Yes, glyphosate. It's what's for dinner. I'm an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot. and a journalist and a pundit and analysis and a futurist and father and a guy loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer, just shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night. To quote Waylon Jennings.
Black, the billionaire co-founder of Apollo Global Management, has long been tied to the Jeffrey Epstein scandal through massive payments and a close association that he himself has called a horrible mistake. Yet he shelled out $62.5 million in 2023 to the U.S. Virgin Islands to settle and avoid any potential claims tied to Epstein's operations there, where some of those funds indirectly supported Epstein's island empire.
The headline should be Leon Black paid Jeffrey Epstein $158 million for services over 5 years as like a tax advisor. This is a story of a U.S. billionaire paying a convicted sex offender hundreds of millions of dollars. I mean, with the lending, it brings in $200 million into Jeffrey Epstein. And the report found that he visited Epstein's home in New York multiple times and his other homes around the world as well. In order to, like, what, cut his tax bill by $1 or $2 billion, which even that strikes me as concerning.
The leaked document from the Epstein files from 2026 DOJ releases consists of heavily redacted attorney notes from a May 2023 call. Multiple women accused Black of violent rape, often under the guise of massages. One described 7 to 8 years of sadistic abuse, including vaginal biting, causing excruciating pain and bleeding. Another claimed a brutal assault with head slamming. A third, a developmentally disabled 16-year-old girl with autism and mosaic Down syndrome, alleged trafficking by Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, forced to massage Black naked, then violently raped, causing severe rectal and vaginal injuries. Of course, Black has vehemently denied all involvement, calling the accusations baseless, uncorroborated, insisting he's never met certain accusers. And now the outrage is exploding nationwide because LifeTouch, the company behind school pictures for countless American kids across the country, is owned by Shutterfly, which Apollo Global Management controls through its funds.
The rumors have caused concern among parents around the country.
No one really thought anything of it until we started thinking about, okay, wait, who actually is seeing these pictures instead of just the parents?
LifeTouch, too, has responded, releasing a statement which reads in part, LifeTouch is not named in the Epstein files. The documents contain no allegations that LifeTouch itself was involved in or that student photos were used in any illicit activities.
You want to know who owns those photos, and that's typically done by contract, and what can be done with the photos later between you and the photographer.
Stephen Clark is a South Bay-based attorney. He says it's important to read the fine print on consent forms for things like school photo shoots. Tech expert Ahmed Banafa agrees, especially given the chance of a data breach.
About 5 million pictures being sold on the dark web in 2023.
Meanwhile, in the latest torrent of Epstein documents, Woody Allen and Jess Staley emerge as another grotesque thread in the financier's web of influence. Allen pops up repeatedly in scheduling logs and emails, with Epstein even paying $15,000 for their kids' elite private school tuition, Emails between Woody Allen and Epstein reveal a conversation about cannibalism. Epstein says he didn't just cause heartburn, he ate them. Epstein says hearts. Then Allen says, thanks. Allen says, at least I'm thinner. Epstein says, because you also eat the bones, providing fiber. Allen says, I don't like waste. Staley, the former J.P. Morgan rainmaker turned Barclays CEO, exchanged over 1,000 emails, some laced with creepy Disney princess references and young women's photos.
And so the New World Order is in deep trouble. They're basically done. And we should focus on the files they're suppressing. We should focus on the cover-up, but also focus on what we got.
A financial kingpin, a predator banker, and a legendary filmmaker, all orbiting the same twisted world of Jeffrey Epstein. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
Hello, boys and girls. I have a special message for you from the President of the United States.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings.
Reporter Brian Guide in our newsroom, and there has been an attempt, as perhaps you know now, on the life of President Kennedy.
The initial attack on the destroyer Maddox on August 2nd was repeated today.
Psychological warfare operations went into high gear.
In retaliation for this unprovoked attack on the high seas, our forces have struck the bases used by the North Vietnamese patrol craft.
It would allow the president to wage war in Vietnam.
Just run and escape.
Each plane. In 1976, flight 455, which took off from Venezuela bound for Cuba, suddenly exploded. All 73 passengers and 5 crew members aboard died after the plane crashed near Barbados.
William Colby has been missing since April 27th. His canoe was found washed up on the banks of the Wicomico River April 28th.
He's missing and presumed drowned after an apparent.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad.
I've always felt the 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
There it is. Shots.
All right, what is the Trilateral Commission?
It's an organization founded in 1973 by David Rockefeller.
What they're really up to is a scheme to plant their own loyal members in positions of power in this country, to work to erase national boundaries and create an international community, and in time, bring about a one-world government with David Rockefeller calling the shots.
I understand he was tapped for Skull and Bones.
Tapped for it? Sir, he founded Skull and Bones.
It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad.
We have got to fight, stand up. It's not going to be easy. Well, I'll assure you this.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show. I'm Miranda Morello, filling in for Alex.
man, oh man, is today kind of a chaotic news day. Many of you woke up to the news that there was an Epstein-related arrest, except it didn't happen here in the United States. It actually happened in the UK, strangely enough. Prince Andrew has officially been arrested. Now, the details regarding his arrest are very vague. It's in suspicion of misconduct of public office. That's what we're hearing right now from the reports on the ground. But folks, who would have thought that the UK, which has been taken over by Islamists, is a place you'd see the very first major Epstein arrest? Quite strange, right? They've allowed the rapes of young girls and women in their country, but now they're stepping in regards to these Epstein files that have now been released. Obviously, we're keeping our eye to all of this. And as many of you guys know, Alex is fired up on the issue. This is something he's been screaming about for quite some time now. As many of you guys know, Prince Andrew was all over the Epstein files. Even recently, we've seen the new images of him over the body of a young girl, what appears to be. Her face was redacted. Again, redactions are supposed to include the victims. So one assumes that this might be a sexual assault survivor. And it seems like this girl is passed out. Now, obviously, Prince Andrew will never sit there and tell you that he was a part of the child rape going on. And even the king himself putting out a statement in regards to all of this. The royal family thought they could avoid this, but it looks like they haven't. Saying that, "I have learned with the deepest concern about the news regarding Prince Andrew," who's no longer Prince Andrew, of course, "about the suspicion of misconduct in public office." Now, again, folks, this is something that has been ongoing for quite some time, years. In fact, the royal family was the one who loaned Prince Andrew the funds to settle claims against one of his other accusers. So what's going on here? Why all of a sudden is the UK leading all of this now? And again, we've been talking about the Epstein files extensively here, but for some reason, our own federal government can't give us any actual charges, prosecutions. But over in the UK, they're taking this very, very seriously, it looks like. Again, obviously, I'm not going to jump the gun on here. Oh, by the way, quite strange. It is also his 66th birthday, Prince Andrew I'm referring to here. So obviously this is big, big news coming into the newsroom right now, and we're keeping our eye on all things related to this. But folks, this has been something we've been screaming about for years now. Why all of a sudden has this changed? Why? You know, James O'Keefe, I want to play this clip for you. This is going to be clip two. James O'Keefe has been talking about this extensively for years, but most importantly, he actually got his hands on some great audio that comes to us from an individual who was labeled as the royal family advisor, who openly admits that Prince Andrew was, in fact, raping children. Take a listen.
Prince Andrew, he was in the Navy. He was 250 days at sea. He never saw his family. I was really pissed because he lied to me. Epstein. And then I did a big thing in the Daily Mail saying that I believed Andrew. And then I found out he was lying. I was so pissed. I know that he was f***ing underage girls.
Obviously, as many of you guys know, this is something we've had our eye on. And James O'Keefe, again, was trying to sound the alarm on this. This was something that we've all known. It's been happening right in front of our own eyes. Again, that is someone who's claiming that he knows that Prince Andrew was raping children. Now, again, these are claims that he denies personally. But folks, you're not going to get anyone to actually admit this. And in fact, if that doesn't do enough for you, if that doesn't sell you on all of this, I wanted to make sure that we highlighted the fact that all these Epstein files that were coming out, I strongly agree that the White House handled it wrong, completely wrong. It's been a PR nightmare for the White House and DOJ. President Trump has been right about a lot of this. And in clip 13, you're going to hear what he had to say about all of this. Actually, it's not clip 13. Sorry, guys. There's a clip where, clip 14, back in 2015, where President Trump specifically calls out Prince Andrew and the many appearances that he allegedly made over at Epstein Island. Take a listen.
You raised the question of Jeffrey Epstein in your remarks about in the Q&A.
Well, I think he's got a problem. I mean,
what do you think the problem will be?
I don't know, but that island was really a cesspool. There's no question about it. Just ask Prince Andrew. He'll tell you about it. The island was an absolute cesspool. So
It was an absolute cesspool, says the future president of the United States, warning the American people what was going to drop. Folks, we have been waiting for this day. This is a historic day. I don't think there's ever been a member of the royal family, and of course they disowned him, but I don't think there's ever been a member of the royal family who has been arrested. They thought they were going to be immune to any prosecution. The people are what brought this about. You know, you can't cover for these pedophiles anymore, or alleged pedophiles, considering he hasn't been convicted in court, unfortunately. These people are evil. They are demonic. And they thought they were going to get away with so much. I keep talking about it on my show. As many of you guys know, I host the American Journal. That's our morning show here on InfoWars. And I keep talking about the accountability tour. We've been hoping and praying, obviously, that tour kicks off soon. But this administration, although they've released the Epstein files and some of the documents, again, there's a lot of people out there who believe that there's more documents that have not yet been released. And I'll get to that in a little bit. But it's fascinating to sit back and watch all of this play out. Again, we the people are the ones that forced all of this information to come out there because you at home didn't let up on this. You at home didn't let up on this. And we're not going anywhere anytime soon. We're not going to fall for the next distraction. We have fought long and hard to make sure that these predators will be held accountable, and we're not going to stop anytime soon. The New Mexico property, too, that's the next one that we're all focused on. Because there could possibly be bodies, remains buried there. Folks, the accountability tour will kick off. We will make sure of just that. It's also worth noting that Virginia Giuffre, who is one of the Epstein victims, sadly, she allegedly took her own life. That's according to reports. But in clip three, you're going to hear her family react to the news about Prince Andrew's arrest. Take a listen. Three.
News to bring you now the statement from the family of Virginia Giuffre at last. Today, our broken hearts have been lifted at the news that no one is above the law, not even royalty. On behalf of our sister, Virginia Roberts Giuffre, we extend our gratitude to the UK's Thames Valley Police for their investigation and arrest of Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. He was never a prince. For survivors everywhere, Virginia did this for you. Signed, Sky and Amanda Roberts, Danny and Lynette Wilson.
Now, obviously, she's made tons of accusations about Prince Andrew. And so, man, if she was here with us today, that would have probably been a great moment for her. Folks, we're not going anywhere anytime soon. This will continue to be the focus of those looking to fight for the sexual assault survivors. Not only, you know, there's some out there who I know we're very skeptical of, obviously. There's, I think, people who are piggybacking on all of this. They're trying to make it a political thing for Democrats heading into the midterms. And those individuals we'll just ignore for a second here. I want to say that the children who were tortured, justice will come. We're not turning away anytime soon. In fact, the distractions, the efforts to bully those who continue to push for these Epstein files to be released and unredacted, and so we could see the people who were involved in all of this, it's not going anywhere anytime soon. It's not. And it's not just that, too, folks. People like Bill Gates, well, they're really feeling the fire right now. I don't know if you saw this, but Bill Gates, he was supposed to speak at an AI impact summit in India. Now, apparently, he's now pulled out of that because, well, we could just assume, based on the emails that we've received so far from the DOJ, it's quite likely that Mr. Bill's trying to avoid making public appearances. Now, there's obviously many reasons for that. Obviously, he who knows that billionaires, by the way, billionaires are just so poor, apparently, where they have to go and hang out with convicted pedophiles in order to get millions of dollars donated to their nonprofits to help save the rest of the world. I mean, that's the stance Bill Gates has on all of this, that he only met with Jeffrey Epstein because he needed money. And Epstein was willing to give him money for his global health efforts. Others, too. The Clintons also saying just that. And other wealthy, wealthy individuals. Reid Hoffman, I believe, also. I played a clip on him on my show about that. Reid Hoffman, a man is worth what? North of like $2 billion. Claims that he had to meet with Epstein because charitable reasons. Charitable reasons. Billionaires, guys. Billionaires. We're not talking about people like you and I. We're talking about billionaires who are using that as their defense. That's how you know they're full of you know what. But Bill Gates is not speaking now at the AI Impact Summit. And it's not looking good for Bill. And you know it's not looking good for Bill? Why? Well, because those who maybe don't watch InfoWars, those who are, I'd say, moderate, maybe Republicans at best, are starting to realize who Bill Gates is. In clip four, Jillian Michaels, who obviously is someone who I never thought would be in this space, she's in this space now, and she's actually calling out Bill Gates because, well, she just uncovered something we've been talking about for years. She just uncovered how Bill Gates actually might have manipulated and created the pandemic is kind of the hypothesis she sounds like she's floating out there. Take a listen to clip four.
Here's the receipt that most people never see. In the late summer of 2019, just months before any of us ever heard the word Wuhan, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation made a $55 million equity investment in a small German biotech company called BioNTech. Now, at the time, BioNTech wasn't even on the radar, right? But then the pandemic hits, the world shuts down. BioNTech partners with Pfizer to roll out the very first mRNA vaccine. Of course, the stock goes nuclear, climbing from $18 a share to over $400 a share. That's a 20x investment. Just that one investment took Gates' $55 million to $1.1 billion. So ask yourself, what would a philanthropist do? Hold the stock, donate the shares, use the leverage to make the vaccine free and open to the world, but not Bill. Do you know any charity that operates like a hedge fund? It's insane.
Yeah, you know why? It's not a real charity. In fact, if you were to go to the website right now, that press release is still up there right now. All you have to do is look at it yourself. Talks about how there was this $55 million investment, of course, into infectious diseases. And that investment could also go up to about $100 million in total funding. Ain't that something? Folks, they're not even hiding this. It just takes a couple of brain cells to go find this for yourself. And I'd highly recommend you, the people, do your research. They put this information out there. It is in front of your face. Go look. If anyone in your life is telling you, oh, Brianna, or oh, whoever, you know, you are a conspiracy theorist. Bill Gates is a good person. He's trying to help society. Connect the dots. Because that press release came out, and then shortly after, the pandemic happened. You don't have to be a genius to connect those dots. Folks, I want to remind you to head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now. We are very, very excited to have an incredible, I guess you could say it's a contest going on right now. When you shop at thealexjonesstore.com, you are entering to win some very cool prizes. We've got two cars up on the website right now, as well as $20,000 in cash. It's a great investment. You could get the Ford Mustang possibly, and other things up on the website right now. So head on over. Every time you make a purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com, you enter to win this contest. And for every dollar you spend, you get about 100 entries into this. Again, folks, we have 2 days left. So not only when you make a purchase over at thealexjonesstore.com are you supporting us and our efforts here in this information war, and everyone else is waking up now, but you're also supporting yourselves. It's a great investment. If you could potentially win that $20,000 in cash and two cars, you're never going to find this anywhere else. Head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. We have incredible supplements, especially those energy shots. I can't stop talking about them. I do it every morning. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and make sure you snag these deals. You also get a free hat with every order.
Well, way out west, southwest, down in Texas, there's this fella I want to tell you about, fella by the name of Alex Jones. At least that was the handle his freedom-loving parents gave him, and he made pretty good use of it himself. This Alex Jones, well, he's a straight shooter. He calls himself an info warrior, a globalist killer, even a goblin slayer. He's a truth bomber, dropping nukes of knowledge across radio waves, television sets, and all over the World Wide Web. Many have tried to stop him, shut him up, or silence him, but it never quite worked out.
Not for a man like him.
1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms.
He's a real Paul Revere of the 21st century. A truth teller. Hell, even more honest than old honest Abe Lincoln. That's Alex Jones.
This is reality. Truth is stranger than fiction.
There's a lot about the man that didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Not until I tuned into InfoWars, that is. Then things started to become clear.
Are you going to find these guys? Or, you have any promising, leads?
Leads? Yeah, sure. I'll just check with the boys down at the crime lab. They got four more detectives working on the case. They got us working in shifts! Leads.
Now, this story that's about to unfold, well, it started back just about the time the Twin Towers in Building 7 collapsed.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
I only mention it because, well, sometimes there's a man. I won't say hero because what's a hero? But sometimes there's a man. And I'm talking about Alex Jones here. Sometimes there's a man. Well, he's the man for his time and place. He fits right in there. And that's... ah, hell. I've done introduced him enough.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his self-supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show. I am Brianna Morello filling in for Alex today, and a lot is happening over here, so we're excited you're jumping on board with us today. But I want to make sure that we caught you up on all things going on, not only, you know, here, obviously, but in Washington, D.C. as well. A lot's happening there. President Trump obviously declaring war on those that are trying to smuggle fatal drugs into the United States. This is something that he has been committed to during his campaign. And obviously now he's trying to carry through that campaign promise. And so he's putting all the right people in charge to make sure that these drug cartels aren't funneling these fatal drugs into the United States, something that the Biden regime, of course, refused to do. Yesterday, in case you missed it, the White House drug czar Sarah Carter led a roundtable discussion at the White House, bringing together representations from all different types of social media entities like Meta, TikTok, X, YouTube, and other groups as well. Now, they're trying to get a grip on all things related to the drug smuggling that's been going on for many, many years in this country right now. And they obviously put out this this press release. But one of the big points to all of this, too, and I think we need to start talking about it more often, is the fatal drugs, but most importantly, the counterfeit pills, the fentanyl-laced products that have been smuggled into this country for far too long. Thousands and thousands of Americans have lost their lives in all of this. And it's been absolutely devastating, absolutely devastating. But again, this administration is taking on that fight, something that the Biden regime failed to do. Joining me now to discuss is a man who is in this fight and helping the Trump administration carry out that campaign commitment. Please welcome to the show, Victor Avila. He is the assistant director of the Office of Drug Czar, and he's with us now to discuss all things related to that. He's also a retired HSI special agent as well. And Victor, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. I'm so excited to be talking to you right now about this, because this is something that this administration is hyper-focused on right now, flushing out the fatal drugs that have made their way into this country and going after the cartels directly. As many of our audience just heard, you know, Sarah Carter has been doing great job at leading the group, leading your efforts into doing just that. Yesterday, you guys had the roundtable. Tell us a little bit about that.
Great to be with you, Brianna, in my new position here. And yeah, it was a success. It was bringing together the private sector and these companies that run these platforms, these social media platforms that we know that all of us, including our children, are heavily using. Mm-hmm. And who's also using them? The bad guys, right? The cartels and their networks pushing not only just fentanyl, illicit drugs, but many other types of drugs through these social media apps and platforms that at one point even get them delivered to your doorstep. And what's happening is that is equaling the amounts of deaths that we have seen. It is a loophole, if you will, that the cartels have exploited for such a long time. So we want to get together where it's an enhanced coordination between law enforcement, the government, the private sector, to bring all of us together to discuss how we're going to combat this issue. It is a big issue. We've dealt with the southern border. We've dealt international. We're dealing with all that. But let's not forget about how it's occurring within our borders and the consumption problem. Yes, there's a demand issue. We understand that. But aside from this, there's an education aspect to this, right? We need to inform the parents. We need to inform educators, coaches, anyone involved in these kids' lives, that to tell them that there is a problem here, a potential risk, a potential death risk of you buying something online that you don't know what it is, whether it's an Adderall and a Percocet or whatever type of drug that they think that they're getting. According to the DEA, 5 out of those 10 pills contain an illicit fentanyl poisoning substance in there that could kill you. And, you know, they take these phones in their rooms and they have full access to them, more than us as parents have. And so we need to really monitor that. And we're going to, you know, we reached out to these platforms, and they're very, very cooperative in wanting to combat them. They understand that their platforms are being used for this. But so now they're coming around and saying, how can we be part of the solution?
Victor, what are some of the warning signs that parents need to be on high alert about when it comes to all of this? Because obviously it's concerning that they're possibly being exposed to this. But what can parents look out for?
Well, I remember there's a lot of things you have to be looking at. Actually, just the number one thing is you have to be aware. You have to be paying attention to what your child is doing. You have to be, you know, actually go in there, depending on the age and age appropriateness of, you know, password protected and access to certain of these the apps. There's a lot that the parents could do. And, you know, I'm not a big, you know, helicopter parent type would be like that, but mm-hmm. we're talking about life and death here. And a lot of these cases that we've heard, and I'll share one that the director shared yesterday, where a 13-year-old's a friend and her daughter, the husband, the father of one of the 13-year-olds, was cooking dinner for them. She had come over, the friend, and he was cooking dinner for them, and they got the drugs delivered to their front door. When he called them to dinner, he didn't get a response, went to their room, and they were both dead, 13-year-olds, because they took what they thought was going to be a Percocet, and it wasn't. And we have thousands of those unfortunate stories that we deal in this office of the ONDCP with the parents, we call them angel parents, that have lost their loved ones to an illegal poisoning. And so we have plenty of examples and plenty of cases out there to remind everyone that, in fact, this is a real problem. These are real deaths. These are real circumstances happening on a daily basis. Now, the good news is that we're trending downwards here. The numbers just came out a couple of weeks ago. We're down to 72,000 deaths. That's nothing to cheer about, but at least it's not over 100,000 that we saw under the Biden administration. So we are, what we're doing and the efforts are starting to work, but it's going to require more time and more cooperation from everyone involved.
Yeah, and that's a big part in all of this. And for our audience, too, if they're not familiar with you, Victor, I just want to tell them, I mean, obviously, I've known you. We've spoken quite some time now. We've done several interviews throughout the years, but you've done an incredible job at not just your current role right now with the administration, but this is something that you've taken on first. You obviously are retired, as I mentioned in the open, HSI agent, special agent, but you got face-to-face with these drug cartels, and you did end up getting into a shootout with them, which resulted in you getting injured because you were shot, and sadly your partner, you know, passed away as well. And this is something that the American people to know. You are speaking from a position of experience. You know how bad these things are going to get, and I want to highlight that for our audience, because this is something that we can't let up on. These drug cartels were able to run across our country and take full advantage under the Biden regime, and this is something that needs to be hyper-focused on. Sarah Carter, the director, obviously, of the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy, weighed in yesterday, actually, on the Mexico angle to all of this, because President Trump has put Mexico as well as Colombia on notice. We'll get to Colombia in a second, but let's play that clip of her interview yesterday in clip 10. Take a listen.
You've covered the cartels for many, many years. They are now considered narco-terrorist organizations, according to the president. The president has expressed displeasure with the president, Mexican president, over her lack of getting the cartels under control. He has not ruled out land strikes. Can you give us any updates on the cooperation with Mexico?
President Trump has been very clear. The cartels' days are numbered. It's over for them. I've made this very clear myself. President Sheinbaum understands this. This is no secret. And I think the cooperation, we're seeing cooperation now. We know that President Sheinbaum and President Trump have a good relationship. They have spoken a number of times. I think the pressure right now on her and her government to work as well to clean up the cancer that has infected the Western Hemisphere. President Trump was very clear with one of the best operations we have ever seen our Department of War conduct, which was extracting Maduro and getting him out of Venezuela. And now we're cleaning up the Western Hem. Yeah. And Claudia Sheinbaum is going to be a part of that. Now, that's going to take some negotiating. But I can tell you this, President Trump has said this, bilateral, unilateral. We're going to do it if they don't.
All right. So they're obviously, you guys are forcing the hand of the Mexican president right now, but it's not just that either. The Colombian president is also responding to this administration. And earlier this month did actually meet with President Trump. They spoke in regards to all of this. Now, President Trump did say that the Colombian president and their personal meeting was terrific. What are you guys expecting from these world leaders in regards to combating the drugs that are being flooded into the United States right now? What are the expectations currently with this administration?
The expectations are very, very high, Brianna. And let me tell you, there, in the case of Colombia, you could see the them react after the Maduro was arrested, and they all of a sudden we started seeing seizures, huge cocaine seizures coming from directly from Colombia. But that's a positive step, right? This is, like you said, this is the pressure that the United States is putting on these countries, because we know the source countries, we know the cartels are headquartered in Mexico. We know that they're present in the U.S. pushing these illicit substances all over our communities. And the pressure is working. Now, I could tell you, I worked in Mexico in my career, and you mentioned what I went through. And I could tell you that I've seen Mexico do a lot that I had never seen them do before. Seizures, arrest, sending and extraditing people to our country. But nevertheless, it's not enough. They have to up the game, because these cartels have taken a stronghold, especially in Mexico. They basically control the movement of that country, especially when it comes to the money and the power. So there's a lot more to be done there, but at least the cooperation is there. I know that our law enforcement partners now with the Department of War, and why is the Department of War involved? Because remember, these organizations are now declared foreign terrorist organizations. We're talking about terrorist organizations. So when you start combining all these other efforts and our tools that we were never able to use before, now not only in Mexico, outside of Mexico, on the border, I was with the Director Carter in El Paso, Texas, and met with our military partners there in Department of War. So it is coming together. It's hard to do it. You know, I think people want to change immediately. It's happening. It's going to take some more time. There's a lot of diplomacy involved as well in dealing with these countries, but you're going to start seeing some significant improvements.
Yeah, and I think the point that we've been able to open up the avenue of communications with these countries, especially Mexico, given the fact that, like you mentioned, you and I have talked about this previously. The cartels obviously really do run a lot of these governments, unfortunately. And so you could just see that based on the shootings that are involved and these candidates who do run and they don't get the blessing of the cartels. It's something that obviously is devastating news, but dozens and dozens of candidates are killed in these countries all the time. And so there's quite an amount of power that these cartels have. So the fact that they've opened up this avenue of communication, I think, is really telling of what the administration is working on right now. Before you go, though, I did want to get your take on this. I want to also play this other clip 11 from Sarah Carter as well, because she's doing an incredible job, again, at combating all these drugs. But I thought it was interesting. She laid out something that I actually haven't even heard about, how Alaska plays into this drug war. Take a listen.
That the Trump administration is proactively hunting down those who threaten Alaska, rather than waiting for those threats to arrive. During just 10 days of this surge, we seized enough fentanyl to have killed about 2.3 million people. We also seized an additional 115 pounds of other illegal drugs, all in just the span of 10 days. But whether it is by mail, sea, air, or land, we will stop them. This will be achieved by empowering Alaska's state, local, and tribal law enforcement agencies through cooperation with federal law enforcement. There will be no place for these cartels to operate when we are done with them. We will hunt them in the mail. We will hunt them at the border. And we will hunt them in the labs abroad where this poison is made.
Okay, can you give us some background in regards to how Alaska is being utilized by these drug smugglers and how it might possibly be an easy target right now?
Absolutely. And thanks for mentioning this, because this is a result of our first visit back in August of last year, where we went and toured Alaska. And why did we go do that? Because they were being overrun. Alaska has, I believe, 780,000 population and a tremendous amount of land. And they were just being devastated by fentanyl poisoning. And how are they getting it in Alaska, in these rural locations? We have to take airplanes and Cessna airplanes to get to different locations and villages. Well, it's the cartels, the Sinaloa cartel, sending it through the airport and the mail system. Yes, the mail system, the old-fashioned mail system, getting delivered to their front door, kind of what we talked about with social media. And so the cartels have exploited every single angle. And in this case, Alaska has seen a very, very noticeable because of the amounts of people there that in the rural areas. So we just didn't go and did a tour. We went and did something about it. So this clip that you played is a result of a surge done at these choke points at the airport and especially at the mail facility there. And of course, what happened is they seized a tremendous amount of drugs. And this is only the beginning. I could tell you, Brianna, that it's Alaska was kind of like the first kind of give them a relief of what everything that they were going through, but also sends a message to the cartels that we're going to be monitoring the mail system as well. And we're talking about the private ones as well as UPS and the other ones. And so now we're wanting to expand this throughout the United States and make sure that these facilities are not used to get their illicit drugs. A lot of it, obviously, fentanyl, but they're also sending methamphetamine and other drugs as well.
It's absolutely horrifying, Victor. I've never heard what was going on in Alaska, so I've learned something new today. But you guys are doing an incredible job, again, at trying to combat all of this. You know, so many Americans, their lives will be saved, and we're very thankful for that. So, Victor, thank you for joining us today. We greatly appreciate it. I know you're a very busy man, so it's an honor to have you on the program.
Thank you for having me.
Folks, that's Victor Avila. Make sure you give him a follow on X as well. Victor Avila TX. That's where you could find him on Twitter. He's doing incredible work, and so many over there at the Drug Czar's office are doing great work. And it's an honor, obviously, to have him on the show today and to speak out on these issues. All right, folks, let's take things back to Israel for a moment here. You may have seen the story, and I'm going to give you overview of both sides in this argument. Yesterday, the Daily Mail published an article claiming that Tucker Carlson was detained while trying to leave the Tel Aviv airport. Now, obviously, this caught the attention of many, and, you know, I happen to share the story because, well, this is what Tucker Carlson's saying happened to him. This is his perspective. He claimed to the Daily Mail that a man who apparently identified themselves, or men who identified themselves at the airport as airport security, took our passports, hauled our executive producer into a side room, and then demanded to know what we spoke about when he spoke with the ambassador, which is Mike Huckabee. And he said it was bizarre, but we're now out of the country. Now, the Daily Mail initially was claiming that Tucker was, quote, detained in Israel. Now, as many of you guys know, Tucker Carlson's been very outspoken over the recent last few months about Israel. And it's been very controversial. Now, again, it's worth noting that those claims are being disputed. We'll get to what Israel is saying in response to all of this. But Mike Huckabee, the U.S. ambassador for Israel, is also responding. And again, from my understanding, I think that was the purpose of him being there in the first place, was to be speaking with Huckabee, trying to create some middle ground in all of this. But Huckabee put up a post yesterday saying everyone who comes in and out of Israel, every country for that matter, has passports checked routinely, asked security questions, even me going in and out with a diplomatic passport and a diplomatic visa. So Mike Huckabee is disputing a little bit of the detained narrative here. And so is Israel. Israel is denying these claims. Israel apparently told the Daily Mail that they didn't think it was true. They didn't think it was true. So this is what's going back and forth. Obviously, Tucker's making claims to the Daily Mail. And I don't think he even used the word detained. I think that was the Daily Mail doing just that. But if they somehow dispute it, and this is what I'm all on board for, let's have open discussions. But most importantly, if you dispute it, put the information out there. Let's see the footage. It's an airport. There's security footage everywhere. There's cameras everywhere. We all know that. We live in a surveillance world, global world at this point. If they tend to think that's different, okay, let's see it. Let's see it. Now, I'd also argue it's probably likely, right, if you're Israel, you wouldn't even want Tucker in your country. If this is the case, if you think that he was detained, why would you want him there in the first place? So probably on his way in is when you would get him. But again, we haven't seen any physical evidence to prove either side of all of this. I just thought it was quite interesting to see the back and forth. And then also to see the people who were fired up yesterday on X for me simply reporting what the Daily Mail was reporting. This is the problem, though, for both sides. They just go too far. Where anyone who's even just saying what the facts are of a story, and I guess I shouldn't say facts, what the perspective of a story is, they jump on you. They jump on you. That's why I don't really care for either side of the argument at this point. Let's talk a little bit about Iran. Not sure if you guys saw this, but things obviously, and we talk about it all the time on the American Journal as well, are obviously starting to heat up between the United States and Iran. And again, this is all tied up with Israel, of course. Earlier today, the prime minister in Poland, Donald Tusk, actually put out a warning to Polish citizens who may be in Iran. He's telling them to immediately leave. Here was a local report in Clip 5.
Polish Prime Minister Donald Tusk has in the last few minutes said that all Polish people who are in Iran should leave the country immediately. He said that in a few hours' time, there may be no more possibility to evacuate Poles from Iran. Donald Tusk telling all Polish nationals to get out of the country as soon as they can. This, of course, comes as talks between the US and Iran this week have now come to an end, and the US continues to have a huge military presence in the region. Donald Trump threatened for many weeks that there would be a strike on Iran if those talks did not achieve what he wanted.
All right, obviously, the president has been pushing for peace talks between Iran and the United States. And apparently, according to reports, we're nowhere near an agreement. So obviously, this is all concerning. And we, the people, don't want to see us get into a full-blown war with Iran. Keep in mind, folks, we still have sleeper cells in this country. So I know a lot of people out there were arguing that, you know, Iran wouldn't be able to even combat any attack that's made on the ground over there. The reality is, folks, is we know for a fact that they are here already. We need to tread lightly on this issue. We've seen a massive shift of military equipment being sent over to the Middle East. As many of you guys know, we see the public push that's being made between, well, Israel trying to nudge us closer and closer to going to war with Iran. Every day. And he's been saying this. Benjamin Netanyahu has been saying this for years now. Oh, we're getting closer. Iran's getting ready to strike the United States. It's been a fear-mongering campaign that's been going on for far too long. But now the UK apparently is blocking the United States from using their British bases. According to reports, they are afraid that there might be some legal concerns regarding the United States utilizing those bases. Again, they're blocking or withholding permission, according to reports. Now, again, obviously this is concerning, and obviously this is something that has been spoken about quite often by the Israeli Prime Minister. But again, he just today put out another warning. He issued another warning to Iran, saying they will face a response that they cannot even imagine. And that's a direct quote. He made this statement during a televised address at a military ceremony for the IDF. And it's very, very likely that he's going to make right on all of that, folks. I mean, I was going back. Somebody had put together a bunch of clips of Benjamin Netanyahu threatening, well, telling us, the American people, that we are the ones who are going to be at risk soon, that we might potentially be attacked by Iran soon. And based on what's going on right now, we haven't supported or wrapped up any of these sleeper cells, folks. Yeah, they've gotten a couple. I've seen the reports of a couple. But we have so many that we don't even know about. I've reported exclusively that the Biden regime intentionally did not fix the security cameras along our border because they didn't want us knowing how many people were coming into this country. This is a national security threat, obviously. And the fact that not a single person from the Biden regime has been arrested and is currently being prosecuted for what they've done to this country tells you everything you need to know right now. This isn't fear-mongering. This is a warning of preparation that needs to take place. I could promise you that there are sleeper cells all across this country. They were strategically placed in certain areas. And I know previously we've reported about the Pentagon having to shoot down a drone in El Paso. That should also be very concerning for you. Think about how easy it would be for those sleeper cells to build drones and having them fly around our country. It's very obvious, based on the Chinese spy balloon and other things that we've seen up in the sky, that we can't really control our own, obviously, air. So our airspace is deeply, deeply affected by all of this. So again, this isn't fear-mongering. This isn't supposed to, but this is, you better be ready. You better be ready. Folks, we got more to discuss in just a few moments. We've got a great lineup of guests also joining the show. I will have someone in studio in just a moment. Lila Hart will be joining us. She's a comedian, and also she's made an incredible documentary about election fraud. Surprise, surprise. Remember, people weren't allowed to talk about that. But we'll be talking about that with her in just a few moments. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Right now, there's only 48 hours left in that contest that we're doing right now. For every dollar you spend at the shop, you get 100 entries to potentially win two cars and $20,000 in cash. Head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. It's a great investment in both your health and financial future.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said this was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here. A year after the Onion said they bought us,
We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
All you have to do is check out